Hi everyone, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. We've got a great guest joining us today. Cindy Myers is joining us. Cindy is an intuitive energy healer. She's an animal communicator and she is a teacher. She helps people deepen their intuition and connect with their spirit guides, their dreams, and the subtle energies that shape our lives. Her approach blends science, spirit, and empathy to support healing, self-discovery, and spiritual growth. She loves helping other people awaken their own intuitive gifts and finds harmony between the seen and unseen worlds. Welcome to the show, Cindy.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
I'm very excited actually to have this talk today because I think in modern society, when people talk about their own intuition, it's almost as if we all kind of have this understanding now. It isn't something that's kind of put to the periphery. We all understand, like, intuitively, I feel this way, or intuitively, I think this way. It's becoming more mainstream. And so I want to talk about what intuition is like for you and how you developed your intuition, because some people, also struggle with hearing that inner voice or interacting with their intuition. So I was hoping, to start there.
Sure. Well, like Minnie, when it was more of the state of woo, I was working for the Navy as an engineer, and my intuition started to really kick in as an empath, where I was not only feeling people's emotions, which I've done all my whole life, which I didn't even realize, but the physical stuff, the physical empathies really kicked in. And so people would come into my office and I'd have a headache, and then they would say, "Oh, I gotta go home. I have a really bad headache." And as soon as they left, my headache was gone. Their headache, mine was gone because they left. And it just kept happening over and over and over. And I went, "Okay, something really odd is happening here, and I need to explore it." But I didn't have anybody to talk to about it because I didn't want to lose my clearance, for one thing. And it's not the subject you would bring up in an environment like that, as they weren't tuned to it, and I didn't trust them at all. And so that path was really slow and arduous. I did a lot of reading, and I did find some, I'd go into New Age stores and I would feel somebody out and go, "Could you explain this to me and what this is that's happening to me?" And I met the kindest people that would guide me and give me some tools to protect myself. And then I had this, it got a little less scary. And I thought, it would be really cool if I could do it that could benefit others. If I could develop it enough, if I could learn how to help others, if this is a gift or if something's happening here, how could I channel it to being of benefit to others? And it was went on for a master's degree in counseling and psychology, and I was doing a lot of dream work, and that's a great avenue to develop your intuition, because to me, at least, intuition happens the interpretation is in metaphor. So you need to understand metaphor. And so dream work, you get to practice every night with metaphors. But the real growth and the real opening of my intuition and understanding it, and the best teachers I had were animals. It was when I got my alpaca farm and were drawn to the alpacas that they became the best teachers. And I didn't know beans about alpacas when I got them, to be honest with you. I had dogs, but I had never had farm animals before. And so I'd put out there, I go, "I need an adult 4-H before I ever buy any kind of livestock animals." And I happened into this farm that was like 20 minutes from my house at the time, and never heard of them before, never even really knew what an alpaca was. But I went and I asked for a tour, and they told me how you could board there and they'll teach you everything you need to know. You know how to trim nails and give shots and everything you might need to know. And I went, there's my adult 4-H. And 2 weeks later, I bought my first alpacas. And it happened to be one of the largest farms in California. And so it turned out I could practice on, and when I got there were 200. When I left to my own farm, there were over 400 alpacas. And I got to practice my skills of intuition, doing energy work and communicating with them, with all these amazing animals. And my first book is called Alpacas Don't Do That, which is a memoir of how I kind of got into all this. And it was because the running joke on the farm is because alpacas don't like to engage with humans. They don't like to be touched. They don't like humans very much. But they responded to me because they knew my energy was different. As a matter of fact, one of the first times I knew I was connected with an alpaca, I was communicating to her intuitively, and she did a triple take. And she was standing right next to me, and she sniffed my face and right up there. And I heard in my head, "Huh, I didn't know two-leggers could do that." And so that's how I, if you hear me talking, I'll let it. I don't even think about it anymore. But I refer to us as two-leggers because that's how they see us. Anyway, but that was my training ground, really, and it grew between my master's program and working with humans, and then this it just took my skills to a new layer, and I get to practice it every day on my own farm too, of how to develop. I go practice, and it's not just with the alpacas anymore. It's just nature in general. My passion and eco-spirituality is really taken off because there's so much. That's how, in my experience at least, when spirit wants to talk to us, they love to use nature. They have it available to them. It's just that we need to pause when it shows up and listen. And you don't have to do it for very long because it won't last long. But they will reach out to you and give you a sign, whether it's from the other side or it's the spirit themselves. A quick story, if you don't mind. Recently, a friend passed away, a friend's husband passed away, and this dragonfly flew over my head. And I didn't know he had passed yet. And I just went, oh, this is, I mean, there's dragonflies fairly regularly, but it's something caught my eye. And then that afternoon when I got in, or that evening, there was an email that my friend said that he passed away. And so I thought, oh, I wonder if that was a sign from Ray. I don't know. And then a couple days later, there was another dragonfly that f kept flying around my head. And so I stopped and I said, is this a sign from Ray? And I got, yes. I go, do you have a message you want to convey to me? And I stopped and I listened, and it was a message for his wife. And so I quick texted her what I picked, translated. And then a little bit later, the dragonfly came back and it was sitting on the fence. And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be nice to take a picture of this dragonfly? And, so I communicated to it because I was having a real, it was a chameleon-like as it morphed into the background. So I was really having a hard time getting close enough without scaring it off and being able to zoom. I couldn't find it. So I said, please stay still, don't move. And finally, I was able to find it and zoom in and get a nice picture. And I thanked it and it flew off. A little bit later, a couple weeks later, and again, I sent her the picture. A couple weeks later, I was talking to my friend, and she was telling me a story of another friend that lived in the South somewhere, a former FBI agent. And he was saying, you know what? The other day, right after Ray died, this dragonfly flew in my house. Never happened before. Never, ever happened before. Do you think it was a sign from Ray? And then she told him my story. And I went, yeah. So nature is a way of them being able to connect to us, and we just have to listen and stop and be present with them. And if you, a lot of people might notice it and they'll go, oh, that's nice. We got a message from the other side. But I encourage people to really stop for a few moments and listen carefully because that's where the messages come in.
Definitely. So I want to discuss this whole dream work with you and kind of navigating the dream world to deepen your intuition and what that experience was like for you.
Well, the subconscious is working overtime in our dreams. It's like you have multiple screenplays written every single night that's all about you. And so when I teach about it, it's like I picture it being you've got a scriptwriter, a director, a set designer, a casting director, everything in there is all about, is almost always all about you. I mean, there's a couple of exceptions if you have a premonition dream or something like that. But most of the time, it's to guide you. It's trying to help you understand either what you're struggling with or an obstacle or, you're trying to grow your authentic self. That's how I like to see it. And if you're an intuitive, that's part of your authentic self. To me, I mean, that's who I am, that's my strongest sense of who I am, is my intuition. And so by listening to that and being very careful and looking at the dreams, it's to me, it's like a giant puzzle. It's like, why did my subconscious choose the scene, the setting, the people in it? Everything is not by, there's nothing by accident about it. From if it's about a car, what car was it? Was it the car that I, my first car? Was it the current car? There was a reason for it. Is it, did one of my sisters in it? It's not usually about my sister. It's about some aspect of them that they represent that's really about me. So you kind of have to get your head out of the other and go, you kind of get to be a little narcissist in that it's really about you. So what quality of whoever it is represents you? So if it's a house or something, maybe it's my childhood home. That's important because then whatever I'm trying to resolve or heal is might have occurred at that age. And sometimes it's like, why? Or if there's a number in there, pay attention to numbers. Oh my gosh, that's really important. But one of the most unusual ones I had recently on a character, and I was like, why did my brain pick that guy? It was, I don't know if you remember the old Bonanza sh TV show,
I know what you're
but
talking about.
Hoss Cartwright was in Hoss Cartwright, and he was on top of this, stairwell or something, and it started to crumble beneath him, and he was falling. And I was analyzing what, why, what, and I kind of got the metaphor because things just weren't working well, and it seemed like whatever I was trying was just crumbling around me. And okay, but why him? Why him? And I happened to talk to, I was teaching the class on dreams, and I mentioned this character, and somebody said, oh, I wonder when he died. He died really young. So we looked it up. And he was like a very young man. Well, my dad died at a very young age. And it turned out that he died the same year my dad died. And so I went, oh, he represented something about my dad then. That the, whatever got shaken and crumbled around me, and that certainly crumbled my life, what happened when he passed on. And so that's still needing healing even 50 some years later. But it was just that I didn't know any of that. I couldn't have told you what year he died. I knew he died, and I knew he died a young man, but I couldn't tell you what age or what year. And so it was like, and that too then told me the subconscious has access not only to our own wisdom of what's going on in our life, but a collective wisdom and a universal wisdom. And it can tap into this huge amount of resources to help guide us. And so when we go in and start puzzling out, what does this dream mean? It can mean a whole lot of things, and they're and statements. So it could represent something that's going on in ourselves, but it could also be rippling out in the collective because we're not a stovepipe entity. We're all interrelated somehow. And so what's happening out in the collective is also happening inside us and vice versa. And so sometimes it's easier to look outside what's happening in the collective before we can look in the mirror and see what's happening inside ourselves. So it can hold a nice mirror of what is happening by studying the collective first. or the universal aspects. But you could take one dream and spend a lifetime analyzing it almost,
Yes, you
because there's
could.
so many layers to it that are fascinating. But again, by studying dreams, you learn the language of metaphor because it uses metaphor.
Yes, and some people will actually say, "I don't dream. I never
They
dream."
do. They just don't wake up at the right time to remember them. It's physiologically imperative that you dream. But you just, I have a some, and she comes to my dream classes, but she goes, "I don't remember my dreams." And she keeps working at it. And she emailed me just recently. She goes, "I remembered a dream." So it's just like, you got to keep, it's, we tend to, those who wake up maybe in an anxious state, it goes poof too fast and you don't remember it. And so you kind of, and so we're giving her tools to like, well, start breathing before you, as you, when you first wake up, and just keep practicing. Keep a pen handy, because it may wake up in the middle of the night and you don't remember it. And I get a lot of people go, "Oh, I don't want to turn a light on and I don't want to wake up. I don't want to wake up my partner." I go, "You know, get a little pen light and a little notepad, or use your phone and just write a couple notes if you can." You're more likely to go right back to sleep because you're still in the subconscious if you're writing down the dream, which is the state of sleep. But if you're in there trying to think about it, now you're pulling yourself out and you're going to start stewing over it. Whereas if you just quick do a quick little write, you're probably going to go right back to sleep. And then in the morning when you do wake up, you can take a look at a few notes and go, "Oh, yeah."
Why do you think that we have a tendency to forget our dreams most of the time as soon as we wake up? Do you think that's intentional?
Busy brain. Busy brain.
Busy.
Busy brain and lizard brain. I call it lizard brain is our fear-based brain, that we're anxious about everything, or you know, some of, and I'm guilty, not guilty. I have this habit, and I think it's by being an empath most of my life that I tend to wake up anxious. And so I have to use tools to calm myself down. That's why in the middle of the night, I will tend to remember my dreams often more than when I first wake up. Because when I first wake up, I start thinking about all the things I should be worrying about. And then I have to quiet that down. So I have tools to quiet my anxiety. And if you're in your lizard brain, what I call lizard brain, which is your fear-based brain, that and your intuition and remembering dreams do not go together. Unless it's a really bad nightmare, then you might remember it. But a lot of the dreams, now I don't know, for some people, I wish I had good dreams, but most of mine are, they're not necessarily bad, but they're struggling kind of dreams. I'm trying to get somewhere, I'm trying to do something, I got obstacles, I got, you get stuck, you know, the one where you're trying to move and your feet don't go forward, I can't find my car, da 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 da. There's a lot of themes that are, well, that those are the collective dreams, where there's kind of universal dreams that we all tend to have. So there's a nice meaning about it. But then there are, then you want to look at it and go, but there's something personal happening to me that's happening too as well. It's not just a collective meaning. But that's why you can look up the, you know, what's the meaning of a flower or a car or an animal? You can look up the meaning of it. Does it resonate with you? If it does, then you're on the right path of looking at it more closely. And when I recommend too for people, when you look up the meaning of something, you want to look up the positive aspect of it and look at the contrary or the negative aspect, because that's the shadow. And that's where the juice is. That's where the gems are, is actually in the shadow part, the unconscious, the subconscious. And that's what's wanting your attention, is to heal that piece of it.
And
But
what about
it's, I mean,
the
it's almost universal in species. You know, your dog's dream, your cat's dream. I don't know about fish, but I bet they do. You know, almost every species dreams. So there's an important piece needed to be, there's, nothing is designed in the world or the universe by accident. It's that important for our survivability and our, you know, our growth, our personal growth.
And what about dreams that we have that we consider to be just very nonsensical? We have those. I have those where you wake up laughing like that was just a wild, composite of so many random things that don't make sense but seem like just totally even irrelevant to your life.
Do you have an example that you'd want to share?
I mean, somebody could see I'm just something randomly here. I don't know, like I'm riding a reindeer, and then there's geese flying. It could be just so many random things happening. And I think we have those like kind of nonsensical dreams.
They seem nonsensical, but they're not. So reindeer would have. That's, I would say that's got a, I would look that up. What's the dream meaning or a totem meaning of a reindeer? And you're riding it, so that's important that you're actually connected and it's taking you. And the other one was, what was the other
Well, I'm
image?
just throwing out. I'm just throwing out like some
Yeah,
make-believe
what was
thing.
what was but it's not random.
Well, I guess maybe that was not a good example. Like
No, I
people
think it
do
was.
have dreams of, like some, you watch TV before you go to bed, so maybe you're in the TV show. Things that again are not resonant. You know what I mean with your everyday life.
Yeah, again, it'll take stuff like that and put it into your dream, and they can be kind of filler dreams. Not everything has to be totally working on everything. That'd be exhausting.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think there's always randomness to it. And even the things that you just said out loud, the reindeer, that you're riding on reindeer, I don't think that was random. That even if it wasn't a dream, that was the first thing that came to your mind. So I would be really curious what a reindeer meant.
Yes, and
And
then
why are you riding a reindeer? Well, it's coming into the holiday season, so maybe you're getting ready and preparing yourself for holidays. I mean, it has so much rich metaphors. You're also, to me, reindeers are what guides Santa's sleigh with all the gifts. And here you are on a podcast providing gifts of knowledge. And you're writing, you're the one hosting, and you're steering it.
What if how would we distinguish? Because you hear stories of people having like prophetic dreams about the world, an event is going to happen. I'm thinking of, more cataclysmic events in the world where you have many people around the world who would dream, I'm just again making something up, of a tsunami or some major natural disaster, and then the next day it occurs.
Before September 11th, before the attack on the Twin Towers, I saw the face of evil, and it was about a week before. And it was a frightening dream. And I was seeing a counselor at the time, and we were doing dream work. And I talked about the dream, and I went, we did art therapy on it. I love doing art and other modalities that get us out of talk therapy because so much is in an area that we can't access that's in our not in our verb center yet. Anyway, so I drew it out and everything, and I went, I don't know, but this is the face of evil. It was really unnerving and scary. And then that happened, and it was right before I started my master's program in depth psychology and got to study dream work even more. And it was my class that was the first one to connect and begin our program after September 11th. And one of our professors that taught the dream classes in the depth psychology was collecting dreams of those that had prophetic dreams of September 11th. And so she was writing a paper on it. But yes, that happens. It scares the pittywunkus out of me. If I have a scary dream like that, is I wonder, oh no, is something bad going to happen? I sometimes can tell because it has a slightly different vibe if it's prophetic. Most of my premonition dreams are more personal, and I have a recurring dream that says, oh no, And it's usually there's I'm surrounded by dog poop. It starts with one pile and then more and more and more. And it's like, oh, it's going to be a crappy day. And it's usually, and if something else is going on, it's like, oh, I'm going to go into care mode, caregiving mode for somebody who's going to be sick. And now I can kind of tell if it's a really bad dream, I'm going to have an animal down hard and I got to switch on that mode. But it's usually a premonition. I get it ahead of time. So most of mine are more that way prophetic, for personal in my own lifestyle. But once in a blue moon, I get something that's a storm, something bad happened. And it's usually it's good if it's not close to me. It's like, okay, it's further away. It's not going to happen to me personally, but there's something bad going to happen, but it's not going to impact me personally. If it's really close, then it's like, oh.
Why do
But
you
not
think
much I
that?
can do about it, unfortunately. It was like, I wish we could have, maybe there's some that, I do know a couple intuitives that are connected to the FBI and CIA and stuff, but maybe they can have more give their insights to them, but I do not.
Why do you think that some people are like have that type of connection to more like world events?
I think it's, as I'm really tuned into frequencies and all that, I think I think we all kind of have a natural frequency that we operate at and our intuition. That's why some people are clairaudient, they hear things, some are clairvoyant, they see things. I'm an empath, but I also have the information that just knowing. And I know, and I'm tuned into animals, so I know I hear things really high that's outside our audible range and really low. So like I can be at, when I lived on the coast, I could be driving past, along the ocean and turn my head and there were dolphins almost every time. And it's like, and I would, if I was with somebody, go, oh, there's dolphins. And by the time they turned their head, they were gone. And it was just, I'm sure I could hear them. And I'm picking up their echolocation. So I'm wired, and it's a very broad spectrum of what they can hear. And those that can probably pick up more of the worldwide stuff. I personally try not to, because it would be overwhelming. That might be more of the collective. I try and understand the collective because, again, it gives me insight of what's happening in the personal realm, and it helps me make sense of why the collective is so cuckoo right now. It's a crap show. But it helps me analyze it and understand it, and it helps me guide people around it because it's all fear-based stuff. So I want to understand it so that we can help heal it. And by healing the world, we start by healing us because we all ripple it out.
And so, I guess in the opposite direction, with people having dreams about something about to happen, what about people who have dreams about like the ancient past? I'll give you an example. I'll just use myself. When I went to a couple of years ago, I went to Santorini in Greece, and I kept having recurring dreams of a tsunami, and it was so bizarre, and I just kept having them. And I don't have those types of fears. So I wonder, like, similarly, people, is it because we're tied to the earth in some way? Is it a remembrance of something, or I don't know.
You may have had a past life that was there, and where you were there. So it was bringing up those ancient memories that are still in your DNA, in your karmic life. I do believe in all that we have different lives, that we have different experiences. I know this isn't my first rodeo as an intuitive and a healer. I've had a lot, and from being a good healer and a not a nice person. And so because of those experiences, and also of being killed many times over because I was a healer, I was a threat to leaders. I have fears sometimes that I've never had a problem with those things, but I'm sure it was because I got killed that way.
Yeah.
But also, it some of the ones that I know that I was not a nice person on, took advantage of abusing those gifts. My morals are really important to me. My values are just like, not going there. If this is outside my realm, I'll tell people because that's too important. I'm not going to that dark side of stuff. It's too important.
So I think if somebody were to get started, like let's say, I don't know, they're having an issue in their everyday life or a recurring pattern or a recurring theme that keeps coming up in their life, and they have a hard time meditating. A number of people do. So if they're trying to like tap in and they can't really focus, they probably want to consider dream, working within the realm of dreams, because we do sleep every night and we need that. So it's not like you have to worry about, oh, can I fall asleep, unless you're a really bad insomniac. So how would somebody begin to resolve or get clarity with certain things in their life by entering like the dream world?
So keep a journal. That's your best starting point, is keep a journal of your dreams, even if it's just a real brief one. And if you can't remember every detail, just write out what you think it might have been. Use your active they call it active imagination at that point. And that's still tapping into your subconscious. Don't censor it. Just write.
Would you
You're going to
ask?
start seeing themes. You'll start seeing patterns. You'll start seeing themes. And you won't see them if you don't write them. It'll be harder for you to see them if you don't write them down.
So if it's something that they have not been dreaming about, and but they do want resolution, or they're looking for, some sort of clarity, should they ask, their subconscious, their guides, or anybody to help them start to like that, get clarity in that process of dreaming? Or
Yeah, what ha sometimes helps me is if you get the tarot cards, and if you have a favorite kind, angel cards, anything like that, just at random, pick one or two, three at random and read about it. And I wouldn't do more than that because then it overwhelms your brain. So just pick a couple of them at random, or just open the book at random and read it. But I like to look at the picture and kind of look at it, and it helps me relax. And I read those things. It kind of sets the intention of what your subconscious wants you to dream about then. And your subconscious is going to pick the right card that wants to help you overcome whatever it is that you need to overcome or understand. It's not really overcoming, it's wanting to help you understand some aspect of your life better. And maybe change a pattern, but you got to understand it before you want to change it usually. So that can help, is a nice simple little tool. It's just set the intention then and read about it, and you don't have to think, let the book do it for you, but do it at random because your subconscious will pick the right card. Guarantee it. The other thing I'll do sometimes, and this was the best advice I ever got, because you said that some people can't meditate. I rarely meditate where I just put a candle on and turn the lights down low and put some pretty music on and meditate for a half hour or 45 minutes. I don't have time. Forget it. I've trained myself to be able to meditate anytime, any place, anywhere for any length of time. And most of my meditations are less than 5 minutes. They're probably a minute or two at the most. So it allows me to tap into that dragonfly. It allows me, when I'm working with a client or their pet, people don't even realize I'm in and out of a, because I'm in a meditative state when I'm tapping in and sensing what's going on and listening with my third ear. And I'm in that step, and I pop right out and talk to them. Oh, their neck is out. Da, 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 your neck is out. And what's going on? Oh, this happened when you were four. Is there a problem? Does that resonate with you at all? And then I tap, go back in. But you don't even know that I'm going in and out. And that was the best advice I ever got, was that you should be able to meditate anytime, anywhere, for any length of time. And that has served me really well. so that when I am struggling with something, and I like to do mine while I'm outside in nature. I have an alpaca farm, so I'm out there doing my chores and raking up poop. Well, you know what? Raking up poop does not require a lot of brain power. So I can use that. I can take a couple minutes and go, I wonder what this dream meant. And I go, you know what? I need help. My spirit guides come in, give me a clue what this is about, and I'll go under and see if they don't give me a hint. And sometimes something shows up, an animal, a bird, something that gives me a clue, or I'll get a word in my head and go, oh, okay, that's probably what it means. Oh, look this up. Okay, I'll quick look this up. And so, and today, you know, when I was started, there wasn't Google that all these tools weren't as easily ready. And so by the time I'd come inside to go look up in my nice library of dream books and everything, I'd forget. It's like, nah, I it's gone. So it went by teaching myself to just be in the moment and look it up, because it I guarantee you it won't take you long. You're going to get that information in the moment and when it's fresh, and you can get more ahas.
Yes, definitely. Well, Cindy, thank you so much for being a guest on the show today. If people want to connect with you and find you, where can they find you?
My website is yourenergyhealer.com. And there's a contact page on there. You can just reach out if you have any questions. I have a phone number. You can text me on it, or lots of ways of reaching out to me. I have lots of services and a lot of classes,
Wonderful.
and look forward to meeting anybody that's interested in growing their intuition.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Cindy. And thank you, everybody, for listening this week. Have a great week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye, everybody.